the law assumed sermon, the gospel afterthought sermon, the God loves you anyway sermon. I've written an article in the latest issues, etc. journal titled An Updated Listener's Guide to the Pulpit. We'll send it to you for free. Just click the red journal subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. In the Wittenberg Trail feature, Dr. Matt Richard details his journey from folk Lutheranism to confessional Lutheranism. The free online Issues Etc. journal. I guess there is no limit to the claims that are often made by charismatic Christian leaders in Pop American Christianity. The latest is that either they or Christians in general, if they, I guess, speak a word of faith with enough conviction, have the ability to control the weather. That would be nice. You know, if you were planning a wedding for your daughter or you were planning a weekend down in Florida, say this weekend down in Florida, to be able to take a tropical storm, or in this case, a Category 4 hurricane like Irma, and just say, head the other direction. Speak that word of faith and go the other direction. Then everybody's plans could go on. You could visit Disney World, go down to Miami, sit on the beach, and not have to worry about a thing. And yet they claim they have the ability to control the weather, to rebuke hurricanes and to send them wherever they want them to go. Perhaps they want them to go to Florida. Joining us for this week in Pop American Christianity to talk about claims out of Pop American Christianity of controlling the weather, Pastor Chris Rosebrough, pastor of Consfinger Lutheran Church in Oslo, Minnesota, and host of the daily internet talk show called Fighting for the Faith. Chris, welcome back.
Thanks for having me back, Todd.
So what I got to know, and this kind of goes to a subject that comes up again and again when we have these conversations about claims of the miraculous, there is zero proof, at least this week, and last week, and the week before, unless these charismatic Christian leaders were aiming at Houston and are aiming at Florida, that they control anything with respect to the weather.
You make a good point. I mean, if the proof is in the pudding, then there really is no pudding here, to have proof. And one of the things I was kind of musing about on social media as Hurricane Harvey was heading towards Houston was that, you know, I thought it would be a good idea if Donald Trump set up a wall of televangelists to block the hurricane from coming into the Houston area. I mean, it only makes sense based upon the theology that they speak. But, you know, that's kind of the whole point, is that over and again, these people make these claims, and the person who dares to say the emperor has no clothes on, if that's the fellow that ends up being pummeled and rebuked and belittled and slandered and told to sit down and shut up. It's really fascinating over and again, kind of the psychology of how the charismatic movement works. You have these people making these claims. It's demonstrably provable that what they said didn't happen, and then you are pilloried and rebuked for pointing out the obvious. It happens to me all the time. I just consider it to be at this point like a professional, result of what I do. It's just goes with the territory. But over and again, you know, you get these people making these outlandish claims and nothing comes through. I'm seriously thinking that at this point, based upon what we're seeing happening, some of these charismatics and New Apostolic Reformation types who are decreeing and declaring and saying that they have authority over these storms, that we should probably tally up the damage bills and send and make them pay them. If they had to pay these bills, maybe they wouldn't be making these stupid claims. But I think we're getting a little bit ahead of ourselves.
Well, lest anyone listening think that you're just making this up or exaggerating the claims, you've actually brought some examples of charismatic leaders claiming to be able to control the weather. What's first?
All right. The first is we're going to actually listen to two sound bites. First one is a little bit short. designed to kind of set up the theology behind this belief that Christians have the authority over the weather. And it's a charismatic celebrity by the name of Kat Kerr. And Kat Kerr has purple hair, and she claims that she makes regular visits to heaven, and she brings back all kinds of information about what heaven is like. But we have a video that she posted on her Facebook literally a day and a half ago, as Hurricane Irma is approaching the Miami area in Florida.
Hello, this is Kat Kerr reporting from Atlantic Beach in Florida. I have just flown in from my meetings in Seattle, Washington, and yet I still have an assignment left to do. I'm going to demonstrate to you what to do when a storm comes, okay, that's forming into a hurricane. I don't even want to give it a name. It doesn't even deserve a name, but I am going to take authority over it so I can demonstrate once again how you deal with this, because we as believers are over the weather. We are not under the weather. Christ had no issue stopping storms. That was no little storm that he dealt with. We are joint heirs with him and need to be just as bold and passionate in your authority in this earth.
Okay, so kind of, if you would, outline her exegetical, if you can call it that, case for the fact that Christians can, as she say, be over the weather, not under the weather.
Right. So the basic gist of it is that the claim is that because we are, quote, co-heirs with Christ, which, you know, Scripture describes us in this way, that we are a kingdom of kings and priests. Therefore, as kings, we can make decrees, heavenly decrees, just like Christ did. And heaven has to listen and God has to obey. Now, I'm going to note something here. Back in the day, the Word of Faith heresy openly taught that we as human beings are little gods, that we're little deities. And that created such a ruckus that they've kind of moved off of that doctrine. And it's really tough to find anybody claiming that today. So now it's kind of wrapped up in what they call their sonship doctrine. So you and I are adopted sons of God by the blood of Jesus Christ. We're co-heirs with Christ. Well, if you're a co-heir with him, then it just follows, you know, it logically, that if you're a co-heir, then you have the ability to do the things that Jesus did. I mean, after all, Jesus said that you're going to do greater things than he did. So that means because Jesus had the ability to control the weather, think about, you know, storms on the Sea of Galilee. Therefore, we also, because we are adopted sons and daughters of the King, we also, as kings, princes, and princesses, we have the same authority that Jesus did, so we need to just step out in faith and exercise that authority. That's at least how the argument goes. But the issue you're going to note here is that this is not an actual doctrine taught in Scripture. And this is one of the things that actually distinguishes Lutheranism from, like, the Reformed or other groups, is that when we talk about sola scriptura, we mean it. We literally, in our dogmatics texts, in our confessions, within our parlance, in our seminaries, we make a big to-do and a ruckus about the fact that you cannot create doctrines without biblical texts. And so now we've got a problem. There is no biblical text that says that we as Christians have authority over the weather. They make it via inference and kind of bad logical syllogism. That's how they've concocted this. And so, you know, working through her exegetical principles and her concept of the New Apostolic Reformation and charismatic sonship doctrines, she's now literally on her Facebook, this is the next soundbite, going to take authority over Hurricane Irma.
So I'm going to demonstrate to you. I'm here in Florida on the coast. The ocean's right there. Our ocean is right there, the Atlantic Ocean, and we are north of this storm. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to hit it off the coast. I'm going to command it to go out to sea and dissipate. At the same time, because it's growing, when it grows in strength, it's feeding from a low pressure system. So what do you need? You need high pressure. That storm itself has millibars of pressure. The lower they go, the stronger the storm. So what do? You have to command the millibars to rise in the hurricane so it will dissipate and be downgraded. I'm about to do that. So I'm going to take authority. So, Father, as your daughter and as a joint heir with Jesus Christ and as the king in the spirit realm, I make a ruling that storm will leave this area, will leave the coast. I will not tolerate its presence anywhere on the coast of Florida. And I am commanding it to leave and get back out in the ocean. At the same time, it will dissipate. So I command the millibars in that hurricane, you rise right now. You keep rising and rising and rising so the storm will be downgraded, downgraded, downgraded. And then I'm commanding a high to come and sit on the storm so it can be crushed. So here I go. I'm going to command that storm, and I'm going to hit it off of our coast. I'm going to hit it out to sea, and we're going to crush it with our authority. And that's how passionate you need to be. You watch and see. That storm will dissipate. It will come to nothing. I will not tolerate you, devil, taking authority in our weather and messing with our weather system. So I take power over all the power of the enemy, driving that storm and using that storm as a weapon like they did Harvey. You are not doing that this time. I will not allow it. And I command the host of heaven, you go right now. You get in that storm along with me, commanding the millibars to rise and cause it to dissipate. I want you to shred that storm. You shred it. You shred it so there'll be nothing left to it. And I take authority gladly and rule gladly with Jesus Christ.
Okay, a little lesson in meteorology. I don't know if it was accurate or not, because I'm not a meteorologist. Interesting why she said, I'm not going to let you do what Harvey did, in essence. Why did she let Harvey do what Harvey did?
Yeah, I don't know if we have this authority. I mean, why are we allowing tornadoes and earthquakes and hurricanes and all other kinds of natural disasters to happen, especially ones that we have warning about? I mean, why aren't Christians out there taking control of these things and getting rid of them and demonstrating to the world just how powerful Christ is? As I was listening to her, I remember that commercial when I was a kid. It showed a frying pan and it said, "This is your brain." And then there was an egg and somebody cracked an egg and said, and then put it in the frying pan. "This is your brain on drugs. You know, it fries your brain." And I, literally listening to her, I was thinking, man, this is your brain being fried on bad charismatic theology. I mean, this woman is passionate. She's zealous. She's, got, tens of thousands of viewers watching what she's doing on Facebook. And yet none of this is biblically true. And she comes off looking like a complete loon. And the question, of course, is going to come up, is that when Irma hits Miami and skids up the Florida coast, what's going to be her way of explaining her inability to successfully take authority over this hurricane? And generally in the charismatic movement, when things, go awry in that sense, the person who made the false prophecy or made the declaration that didn't come about, they always end up blaming, you or me. Like, well, they had the zeal, they had the belief, but we didn't activate it, or we didn't have enough faith, or we didn't sow a seed into it. I just wonder what she's going to say, come Tuesday morning. And all the news reports of all the flooding that are taking place in Miami and throughout the state of Florida. I mean, seriously, just looking at the storm track right now, it looks like Irma's going to, literally march up the center of the state of Florida. And there's no indication whatsoever that her millibar declaration has made even a dent in this ginormous hurricane.
Pastor Chris Roseborough is our guest. It's This Week in Pop American Christianity. We're talking about claims of controlling the weather coming out of charismatic leadership. We'll get a little bit more, some other examples on the other side of the break, including Gloria Copeland. If anyone should be able to do it, she should be able to do it. We'll be right back.
you believe? What do you say about what you believe? And why exactly does it matter? Learn more about the what and why of the Christian creeds and Lutheran confessions this month in the Lutheran Witness. Get 6 issues of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod's premier magazine for only $6.99 when you visit cph.org/trylutheranwitness. The Lutheran Witness, interpreting the contemporary world from a Lutheran perspective. cph.org/trylutheranwitness.
I bet you didn't know that the teaching of Latin in schools is making a comeback. Latin? Really? Isn't that a dead language? Well, take a look at what studies say about how well Latin students do on a test like the SAT. Memoria Press's Latin program will revolutionize your students' vocabulary, knowledge, and their understanding of grammar. And there is no better subject for teaching critical thinking skills. Visit memoriapress.com and save $5 on your next order by using the coupon code LPR.
I like to think of the deaconess vocation as driven by two things, the love of Christ and the needs of our neighbor.
Issues Etc. regular guest Dr. James Buescher, Director of Deaconess Studies at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, on the vocation of deaconess.
First, the deaconess is moved by the love of Christ, who came not to be served, but to serve. Yet I think we can also see the profound needs around us, broken families, loneliness, despair. Deaconesses help the church to become a true family that manifests the love of Christ in our love for one another, and especially for those in need.
For more information on the Deaconess Studies program at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, visit ctsfw.edu or call Concordia Theological Seminary at 1-800-481-2155, 800-481-2155.
A voice in the wilderness of American evangelicalism, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Metro East Lutheran High School in Edwardsville, Illinois, engages young adults in a Christ-centered environment, delivering academic excellence and spiritual growth to develop Christian leaders for tomorrow. We provide a Christ-focused alternative to public high schools. Many of our students receive tuition assistance. To help us provide tuition assistance to more students, go to melhs.org and click on the giving page, or call me, Dr. J. Krause, principal, at 618-656-0043.
Your pastor has been called to shepherd you as a member of Christ's flock. Doxology offers an innovative program of advanced study retreats where your pastor can be refreshed, renewed, and refocused. Find out more at doxology.us. Many pastors report that doxology has been one of the most valuable learning experiences since seminary. Doxology, the Lutheran Center for Spiritual Care and Counsel. Doxology.us. Doxology.us.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin on this Friday, September the 8th. It's This Week in Pop American Christianity with Pastor Chris Roseborough of Fighting for the Faith. We're talking about claims of controlling the weather coming out of Pop American Christianity. So far we have heard twice from Kat Kerr, who has not only claimed but demonstrated and done what, or at least claimed to have done what she says she has the ability to do, is that take authority over the weather and make Hurricane Irma turn away from the Florida coast, which last I checked, it was doing quite the opposite. It's basically going to strafe the entire state. Yeah. And do a lot of damage in the process. What is the next example of this that you have for us?
All right. So as Irma is approaching, in Jacksonville, Florida, the Channel 4 News in Jacksonville, Florida, actually covered a prayer meeting that took place on one of the beaches in Jacksonville, claiming that they were going to be praying regarding the storm. And listen very carefully to the news report and to the people whom they are interviewing, and you're going to find that they are holding to the same theology that we've already heard from Kat Kerr.
As anxiety increases with Irma's approach, many are turning to their faith to help weather the storm.
Jacksonville Mayor Lanny Curry has said it several times, prepare for the storm, but pray that it falls apart. Joy's here now with one group who is heeding that call. Joy?
Mary, Tarek, the Jacksonville Beach Pier was the place for dozens to gather this evening to pray with outstretched hands that this huge hurricane pushes out to sea.
My God, in him will I trust.
News of this gathering spread fast.
No fear. No fear.
Many churches and other groups heeding the code red call, meeting for intercessory prayer and protection against Hurricane Irma near the Jacksonville Beach Pier.
As Christians, we are told in Scripture that we can speak storms to quiet down like Jesus did, that people care about Jacksonville. They care about the beaches.
Yes.
They don't want any more erosion. They don't want any more destruction of property or families dying. They came to prevent what happened in Texas.
That this storm will cease causing destruction.
Starting at 7, the evening of September 7th, the gatherers called on God to push Hurricane Irma out to sea. And for anyone not there to join in on the prayer service, complete with hymns and Bible passages.
He arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still."
Participants made sure social media shared the message with the entire city.
Hurricane Irma is coming our way, and we're telling her that she cannot be here.
Oh, this is interesting, Chris. I noted that also when we were listening to those examples from Kat Kerr, the same thing seems to be occurring here. It had the form of prayer, but it wasn't really a Christian prayer, was it?
No, like not at all. That's kind of the interesting thing. And this is one of the hallmarks of false teaching, no joke. Is the devil understands just how important real prayer is. And prayer, prosukamai, I mean, literally means to ask, to petition, to, you know, to humbly petition a deity. And, you know, Scripture is very clear. You have not because you ask not. And you're going to note something here. These people didn't ask God for anything. They weren't even speaking to God. They were speaking to Irma and telling Irma that she wasn't welcome to be there. But the person they should have been speaking to is God. Irma is not a person. Irma doesn't have ears. Irma can't hear you. Irma is just a hurricane. And the person you need to be speaking with and to and asking for help in time of trouble, which is exactly what God wills for us to do, is God himself. We need to invoke the Holy Trinity. We need to pray to the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We need to ask our Heavenly Father, who desires to give us good things, that he would be merciful to us. I mean, Kyrie eleison would be a great prayer in such a time as Irma heading towards your town. You know, Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy upon us. That would be a great prayer. But no, they're not talking to God. They're not praying to him. They're not asking for anything. They're telling the storm, "You listen up, you wascally storm. How dare you come to damage our property? You need to head back out to sea," as if that's going to do anything. And so false doctrine always ends up robbing people of real prayer. You think of what goes on in Roman Catholicism. You know, their prayers to the saints, their prayers to the Virgin Mary. They do a lot of praying, but to nobody. You know, literally they're picking up the phone and talking to a disconnected line. There's one mediator between God and men, and that's Christ. And we are to pray, and we are to ask God, and our prayers are very powerful. They availeth much, Scripture says. But you're going to note that here they've got this impending disaster, and they've gathered to pray, and rather than talk to God, they decided to talk to the storm. Now, they were talking to the wrong thing altogether.
There was a claim made there by someone who was interviewed in that news piece from Jacksonville, the woman said, in effect, "We're told in Scripture that we can speak to storms and still them, just like Jesus said." Again, are we told in Scripture any such thing?
I cannot recall a single passage of Scripture that says that we as Christians have authority to speak to storms. Just because Jesus didn't doesn't mean that we can. Jesus is God in human flesh, and when you read the gospel accounts of Jesus calming the storms, the punchline of all of those miracles were that the disciples began to ask themselves, who is this fellow that even the winds and the waves obey him? This was not a normal thing, and it hinted at his deity, and that's really the idea, because Jesus, being God in human flesh, he can speak to his creation and it will obey him, and that's the idea. But you know, nowhere in Scripture are we told that, you know, therefore you can go and do likewise. And you know, in fact, there is no example of the apostles taking control and sending hurricanes and things out to sea and stuff like that. That authority is not explicitly gifted to Christians in Scripture.
I'm thinking about several examples. First of all, the one you just mentioned where Jesus calms a storm and he does not rebuke his disciples for failing to rebuke the storm. He doesn't say to them, oh, you a little faith, didn't you know that you could have simply said, silent, be still, and the storm would have obeyed you. He didn't. Uh-huh. He doesn't do that. And another one is actually a genuine, bona fide shipwreck story with St. Paul on board.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a storm that arises so bad that if I'm not mistaken, the ship is driven against the shoals and breaks apart. And at no point does Paul attempt, I mean, if anybody...
Mm-hmm.
could pull it off, it would be St. Paul.
He doesn't
attempt to stop it.
No, not at all. In fact, that portion of Scripture, that nor'easter that ship found itself in, they were stuck in that storm for weeks. I mean, that was, you know, day and night without rest for weeks, and not once did the Apostle Paul say, all right, I'm trying to get some rest here already, and the storm is keeping me up, and everyone's vomiting underneath the, you know, the deck here. So he goes up on the deck and says, would you just knock it off, you terrible storm, and the storm obeyed. That story's not in the text. It goes on day after day after day after day and ends in a shipwreck, you know. And so, you know, if anybody could have pulled it off, you'd think that the Apostle Paul would have. I mean, after all, I mean, Jesus himself appeared to Paul. I mean, you know, he had a special direct revelation of who Jesus was that none of us have had, and a special calling to be an apostle of Jesus Christ. And yet he never rebuked the storm. It's, you know, missing.
The very same St. Paul, just hours after they make it to land, is bitten by a poisonous snake and survives. So it's not as though he had no power or authority given to him by Christ at all. So it's not as though he's like somehow bereft of his apostolic abilities.
Yeah, no. In fact, it also tells us not only did he get bit by a snake that came out while they had built the fire, but that, you know, one of the local government officials, you know, had somebody in their family that was sick, and the Apostle Paul healed them. You know, obviously God healed them through the Apostle Paul, but I mean, his miracle working power wasn't exactly on the wane, if you know what I mean. And so, you know, and yet, you know, there was no attempt on his part at all to quiet that storm. Very sad, you know, if only he knew, you know.
Pastor Chris Roseborough is our guest. It's This Week in Pop American Christianity. We're hearing some examples out of Pop American Christianity of Christian leaders claiming they can control the weather. Gloria Copeland is next.
Deaconesses are women trained to share the gospel of Jesus Christ through works of mercy, spiritual care, and teaching of the Christian faith. The word deaconess means servant. Find out more on how you can serve in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod through the vocation of deaconess at lcms.org/deaconess. Working in faith, laboring in love, remaining steadfast in the hope of our Lord Jesus Christ. LCMS Deaconess Ministry. lcms.org/deaconess.
I've got some friends down in Houston.
Join Mark and Molly Hemingway, Brian Wolfmiller, Rod Dreher, Jennifer Roback Morse, Scott Murray, and me for the 2017 Fall Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, Friday, November 10th and Saturday, November 11th in Houston, Texas. Registration is $120. For more information, visit issuesetc.org. The Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, November 10th and 11th in Houston. And they won't ask
me questions. Defending the faith, teaching the truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Do you long for a church where the gospel of the sinner's free justification is front and center, and yet where a robust sacramental life is confessed and lived? Do you long for a church that rejoices in the sacred scriptures as the sole basis for the church's teaching and proclamation, yet values and listens to the witness of the ancient fathers and councils? Welcome to the Lutheran Church. We are what you've been looking for. Find a Christ-centered, cross-focused church near you on the Find the Church page at issuesetc.org.
We don't know anything about this formerly blind and mute man.
Listen to chapel services live, weekday mornings from Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
What we do know is what Jesus did for him. And what Jesus did for that man, he is doing now for you.
Morning Chapel from Kramer Chapel. Live weekday mornings at 9 Central, 10 Eastern, 8 Mountain, and 7 Pacific at issuesetc.org.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Pastor Chris Roseborough is our guest fighting for the faith. It's This Week in Pop American Christianity, talking about taking control of the weather. You have another example for us, and this is from none other than good old Gloria Copeland. Who is she again, to refresh our listeners' memory? And what is she about to tell us?
Gloria Copeland is the wife of the famous televangelist and multi-bazillionaire Ken Copeland. And, they are the ones who host the television program, The Believer's Voice of Victory. And so we're going to hear Gloria Copeland talk about how, just assert that we as Christians have authority over the weather. And she has some anecdotal personal stories from her and Kenneth's life that she will share with us.
You know, you're supposed to control the weather. I mean, Ken's the primary weatherman at our house, but when he's not there, I do it. You can see what's happening out there. It shows just like they have on at the weather, like on the news. I mean, he's got the computers, got the current weather on it and all that for flying. So sometimes I'll hear something. I'll hear the thunder start. Maybe he'll still be asleep. And I say, Ken, you need to do something about this. And knowing that, but you are the one that has authority over the weather. One day, Ken and Pat Boone, we were in Hawaii at their house, and they were sitting outside, and there was a weather spout out over the ocean. And that's like a tornado, except it hits the water. And so they were sitting there, and they just watched it, rebuked it. It never did anything. One day, I was in the airplane in the back, and my little brother was in the back with me, and Ken was up front flying. And we were not in the weather, because we don't fly bad weather. But we could see the weather over here. And I looked out the window, and that tornado came down just like this, down toward the ground. And Ken said, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. You get back up there. So this is how I learned how to talk to tornadoes. I saw this. And that tornado went, whoop, 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 whoop. Even while I was watching, and my little brother was not a devout Christian at that time, and that was really good for him to see. So you're the weatherman. You get out there, or the weather woman, whichever it is, and you talk to that thing, and you tell it, you're not coming here, I command you to dissipate, and you get back up there in Jesus' name.
All right. Again, I think you've pointed this out many times, Chris, that there's always a story, and it's always completely uncorroborated and offered with zero proof.
But all you got to do is tell a story in the charismatic movement. That's all that matters. And the better you tell the story, the more you are able to engage your audience and kind of emotionally bring them along for the ride. There's no need to provide proof. I mean, clearly, I mean, this is Gloria Copeland we're talking about here. Why would she need to prove it? I mean, if she says it's gospel truth, and she says you need to be in charge of the weather, and her and her husband do that because she's learned how to speak to tornadoes, you know, well, then, you know, who are we to question them? I mean, after all, they have $1 billion and Kenneth Copeland owns, you know, several airplanes and, you know, jets around the world to tell people about how they can use their words to create riches and, you know, wealth and health in their lives. And over and again, you're going to note the thing that's missing is a biblical text that actually supports any of this. And yet, you know, it's so funny. Charismatics would tell you, you know, they don't believe in prayers to the saints of the Virgin Mary. And you ask them why, they'd say, well, because it's not biblical. And why do you say that you can command the weather? Because that's equally as unbiblical as prayers to the Virgin Mary. But they don't see it that way because, you know, they're kind of celebrity driven in the charismatic movement. The people who can tell the best stories and, you know, attract the largest crowds and bring in the largest offerings, you know, they are literally untouchable, and anything they say is golden. It cannot be challenged or questioned.
I gotta wonder, what's the bottom line danger of, because it's, I mean, in the case of Kat Kerr, it's a little sad. It's like watching a crazy person out on the beach yelling at the ocean. And variations on that here as well. But what's the danger of both this teaching and those who happen to believe it?
It takes your eyes off of Christ, and it gets you to stop praying, as we've noted. And ultimately, this is the type of thing that can literally shipwreck someone's faith. And you kind of have to ask the question at this point, if this is what they have faith in, do they even have true saving biblical faith? But, you know, so there's the person, you know, and they see the tornado or the hurricane coming to their house, and they are zealously and boldly out there speaking to the hurricane or the tornado, and it doesn't divert, it doesn't go away, it doesn't dissipate, and it ends up destroying everything they have. It'll not only destroy their home, it'll destroy their faith. Because we are not given this authority, and we are taught in Scripture to pray. In fact, in the Lutheran Service Book, there's a wonderful section in there called Prayers and Intercessions and Thanksgivings. And with your permission, Todd, I would like to offer up a prayer on behalf of the people who have been affected by Hurricane Irma and who are going to be affected. And I want you to just note the difference here in what biblical prayer, what Christian prayer sounds like compared to commanding the storm. So we pray, Almighty God, merciful Father, your thoughts are not our thoughts. Your ways are not our ways. And yet in your wisdom, you have permitted this disastrous hurricane, Hurricane Irma, to befall the islands of the Bahamas and the Caribbean, and it is now, Lord, bearing down on Florida. We implore you, please do not let the hearts of your people despair, nor our faith to fail us. Instead, please sustain and comfort us. Please direct all efforts to attend the injured, console the bereaved, protect the helpless, and bring hope and healing and restoration so that those who are impacted and lose life and property may find relief and restoration through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Chris, before we let you go, what are your show notes for tonight's Fighting for the Faith?
Oh, tonight we're going to be talking about Hurricane Irma and the crazy stuff going on, you know, in advance of the, you know, it hitting Florida.
You can listen to Chris Roseborough and Fighting for the Faith right after the live broadcast of Issues Etc. in about 5 minutes at piratechristian.com, piratechristian.com. Pastor Chris Roseborough is pastor of Consfinger Lutheran Church in Oslo, Minnesota, and host of the daily internet talk show called Fighting for the Faith. Chris, thanks for being our guest.
Thank you, Todd.
Next week on Issues Etc., we're going to have Pastor Paul Schluter answer the question, was Hurricane Irma a sign of God's judgment? We'll talk with Pastor Brian Wolfmiller about the will of God. Pastor Tom Baker will lead us in a Sunday school lesson on God providing for Elijah, and we'll discuss the demographics of Christianity. Pastor Heath Curtis will be our guest. This is what we're called to do. This is what we have been given authority to do, not to rebuke the wind and the waves, We are not the master of those things. God alone is, which is why we have been given both the call and the gift and the authority, and the privilege to seek Him at hours like this when disaster is looming for so many of our fellow citizens in the state of Florida, or where it's already loomed and done its damage in Texas. We pray. We have been not only commanded to pray, but we have the powerful promise of God that He will hear and answer our prayers. The answers are His. He keeps His own counsel. But the asking is ours. We ask, and He provides. And we know that His will is always good, because His will has been revealed to us in His mercy in Jesus Christ. I'm Todd Wilkin. I'll talk with you Monday. Thanks for listening to Issues, Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues, Etc. Issues, Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues, Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues, Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Is being a member of a church just about tithing and having your name on the roster? The Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for September is Connected to Christ, Why Membership Matters. Browse before you buy at issuesetc.org or call Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040. Connected to Christ costs $5.99 plus shipping and handling. The Issues, Etc. Book of the Month, Connected to Christ, 1-800-325-3040.
The grace of God, the church's music, the Lord's Supper every service every Sunday, preaching Christ crucified and risen, our hope for years to come. There is hope in St. Louis, Hope Lutheran Church, that is. 5218 Neosho Street, St. Louis, Missouri. Find us on the web at hopelutheranstl.org.